Hey there, everyone, and welcome into another episode of Real Talk. This is Justin here, and today I've got Dan with me.
Hi, guys. How are you?
You know they can't answer that, right? We hope you guys are doing well today. We want to talk to you about some of the big differences between Canada and America. For those of you who may not know, I'm from Canada, and Dan originally is from America. And even though both countries are in North America and have very, very similar cultures, as often though as Canadians might like to think that they're very different from Americans, but we have lots of differences between our countries, and that's what we want to share with you today. So to start us off, Dan, do you have a main difference that you can think of?
That's interesting. I think that one of the main differences I can think about right now is the difference when we travel. Canadians will most likely have a flag on their backpack. That's something that's kind of funny because Americans will never do that.
Well, it's funny because I've heard of Americans putting Canadian flags on their backpacks when they travel, on their suitcases, because usually Canadians are received very well around the world and considered to be friendly. So I've heard of Americans using Canadian flags on their backpacks.
Well, it makes sense. Maybe I'll need to get one.
To blend in. But speaking of travel, yeah, I know that one big difference is apparently in Canada, flights, I've always known, are very expensive when you're traveling inside of Canada. So, for example, if you're flying from Toronto in Ontario out to Calgary in Alberta, it's going to be about $900 to $1,000 Canadian, so maybe $750 US, and that's a 4-hour flight.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know what a 4-hour flight in the US would cost.
That would probably be flying somewhere from Orlando to New York. And you could probably get a ticket between those two states, I'd say, for $300. So it's definitely cheaper back in the States.
Yeah, $300.
Do you guys have any like low cost airlines?
I think they're just implementing a couple now. Yeah, I think there's one called Wizz or something like that. But I think they're just kind of appearing now, whereas I feel like those have probably existed in the States for a lot longer.
Yeah, for sure.
Another big difference, of course, is that Canada has two official languages, English and French. And in the States, as far as I know, it's just English, but Spanish is obviously a very predominant language. So do you feel like in the States that, like, is it mandatory to learn Spanish in the States?
No, absolutely not. But I think it's becoming more popular, especially in states like California, Florida, Arizona. You definitely have a lot of people interested in learning Spanish. And of course, you have huge Hispanic population. I think in the number right now, the last number I heard of is 13 million people from Latin America that live in the States.
That's it? I would have thought it was much higher.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a big chunk of the population.
Yeah, interesting.
What about you guys?
So for us, it is mandatory to learn French. You usually start, depending on where you live, in grade 3. And you have to learn it for 6 years until grade 9. So you have 7 years, including grade 9 as well. However, if you live in Ottawa, then so closer to the French-speaking area, or you live in Ottawa, then you have to learn it until the end of high school as well. And I think they even start in grade 1 there as well. But for most of Canada, it's mandatory from grade 3 till grade 9. And then after that, you're able to discontinue learning French. The thing with learning French in Canada is that most of the country doesn't speak French, the vast majority. And so, and not many people really want to learn it. So when you're in school, kids don't want to go to French class. They don't want to learn French at all. And it's considered, you know, the least fun, the worst class that you have to take in school. So after grade 9, when it's no longer mandatory to learn French anymore, most kids don't. And the only reason that you continue studying it is if your parents are forcing you to, or you're a bit of a nerd. And a lot of kids will get made fun of, and nobody understands why someone will choose to continue studying French after grade 9 when it's no longer mandatory. And I think part of that too is just people realize that anybody in Canada, in Quebec, most of them all speak English perfectly.
Mm-hmm. So do you think French is a dying language in Canada?
No, I don't think it's a dying language. I think that if anything, they're trying to push it more and more, mm-hmm. especially from Quebec. But yeah, I think that if you want to work in the government, for example, when you're older, you have to have French. You have to have a certain level of French. And most government jobs in Canada, in the job descriptions, will all say you require this level of French in order to do this job. Mm-hmm. So,
speaking of languages, another difference, and I'm kind of interested to hear more about the way that you're taught English in school, because we have a lot of writing differences. Yeah, and if I'm not mistaken, Canadian English, to a certain extent, similar to British English in spelling.
Exactly. I usually try to explain to students and to people that we speak like Americans, but write like British, yeah. Right? It's kind of the best way to sort of put that, because we do. We have color spelt with a U, pronounce for you, Z, the letter Z, we say a Z, yeah. Which sounds terrible when you're singing the alphabet. Yeah. At the end, X, Y, and Z. It sounds terrible.
Yeah, we Americans have a better ABCs.
This, yeah, this. We'll still say Z, but only when we're singing the alphabet. Every other time it's Z.
I see.
And so for us, yeah, we write more like the British, and we use U, honor, and with R and E, right? So words like center. Mm-hmm. I honestly can't remember which is which.
Yeah, I think you guys write it first R-E. In America, we write it E-R. Center, yeah, E-R.
Fair enough. Yeah, so that's kind of the one big difference between it. But other than that, I think that the way we speak is identical to Americans, and therefore the way that we end up writing informally, you know, and the word order and the way that we choose words is the same as Americans.
Yeah, sometimes, very rarely, but sometimes I do get students asking me, how do I learn to speak Canadian English? And I just tell them, look, it's the same as American, just add an A at the end of every sentence.
Exactly. A is the equivalent of the American, yeah.
Exactly.
The weather's nice today, yeah? The weather's nice today, eh? Same thing.
So guys, if you want to learn Canadian English, just say A. It'll sound a fluent Canadian English speaker.
And I think one of the other major differences between Canada and America is that we use metric while you use the imperial system.
True.
And to me, that drives me crazy that the U.S. is still using the imperial system, especially considering the fact that your military uses metric. Mm-hmm. So for us, we use kilometers, meters, centimeters. It just makes a lot more sense. Obviously weight is in kilograms. However, the interesting thing about Canada is that because, as I said before, our media is exact same and our culture is essentially the exact same. We grow up watching American TV shows, movies, listening to American music. So when characters or people are talking about things like miles or Fahrenheit, we understand that. And to go even further, when we're talking with our friends about height and weight, we use imperial. So officially, we use metric. If you go to the doctor's office, they give you your weight in kilos and they take your height in centimeters. But when you're talking to your friends, we always use pounds and height in inches. And I never knew what my weight and my height was in metric until I moved to Russia.
Well, yeah, I completely understand your frustration. And I think I just started to understand everyone's frustration with American metric system when I moved out of the States. And right now, to be honest, I'm more familiar with centimeters and kilograms than the American metric system. So definitely something that I think at one point will have to change.
So for me, if you work out and you go to the gym, we use pounds in Canada at the gym too. Mm-hmm. So we don't even use kilograms at the gym. And I always wondered why a standard plate was 45 pounds. And then coming to Russia and using kilograms, then I realized, oh, it's 20 kilos and the bar is 20 kilos. It's a very standard number, which makes a lot of sense. You have 5 kilos, 10 kilos, 15, and 20. So I never understood why do we have 45-pound plates. But then once you realize it was probably started, that system probably started in kilos.
Yeah, and then it's just converted, and 20 kilograms was equivalent to 45
exactly.
pounds. Yeah, for sure.
Perfect. Yeah, so I think those are some of the big differences between Canada and America. I mean, as I mentioned, our culture is so similar, our media is so similar, but Canadian English is kind of like a combination of British and American with an American accent, a very neutral American accent, but we write more like the British, which I think is kind of neat. And of course, real estate and traveling is so much more expensive in Canada. So one thing to keep in mind. But other than that, guys, let us know. Do you have any friends that are Canadians and Americans? Do you communicate with both of them and ever hear differences between the ways that they talk? What do you know about Canadians and what do you know about Americans? What differences do you know about these two countries? Write them down in the comments below and we'll continue the conversation there. Other than that, that is all for today, and we will see you guys in the next episode.
Thank you guys. Bye.